the Press Play and Tape podcast, episode 7. I'm your host for today, Daz, and along hosting with me is Mr. Alex Bosnich.
How are you, Daz?
Good, huh? Mate. Good.
It's good, man. That's good. And I know we always say this, mate, but I don't know. The months seem to go a bit too slow between episodes, so it's good to be back for this month. And yeah, we've got obviously our special guest, and
yes,
you can do the needful, my friend. Will the honours.
It's my RD brother, Mr. Sparky Markey. Nah, Mr. Mark Kassar from the RD podcast. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. Don't know about special, but yeah, I'll take it where I can get it. Yeah, cheers, man. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you know, I think it's a good topic that we're going to be talking about today, about our favourite genres. And I thought, who else but to ask Sparky Markey? And he also picked an awesome publisher choice today, which is System 3.
He did. We were inundated, on social media with a lot of responses, so can't wait for that part.
Twitter was good?
Absolutely, man.
Because Fudgebook wasn't too great, actually.
Fudgebook. Damn, Fudgebook.
So, we were talking about System 3, and our favourite genres is our main topic, though.
But, Daz, before we get into that, mate, I reckon Mr. Casso introduced himself and...
Of course.
Tell us a bit about himself and how he got started in gaming and his faith systems and games and whatnot, and how he met you. I don't know. Anything you like, Mr. Kassar, go for it.
Alrighty then. Okay, well, it all started on a summer evening in 1977. My starting gaming, my first console that I ever owned was actually, was pretty much, I'm guessing like everyone else, was the 2600, but... Before that, my brother actually had one of those Pong black and white, you know, those systems with the five or six different versions of Pong. And he never really took to it, so I kind of stole it off him, I guess, and used to play that a bit, but didn't get to play it very often because it was a pain in the ass to tune the thing in to actually get it to work. So it was just like every six months, my mum would bust the machine out, tune it in for me. It would take probably half an hour to do so.
And it was such a big deal, wasn't it, to hook up the game system to a TV?
Yeah, exactly. So then when I was about 7 years old, I think it was, when I got my Atari for my birthday, I believe. And funnily enough, my mum bought me the system from Safeway, of all places.
Oh, what?
Safeway. Yeah, Safeway. And it actually came with 7 games and the paddles as well.
Shit.
Yeah. Jeez. So that kept me going for quite a while. I love that thing. Probably some of my favorite games in that were stuff like skateboarding and Kung Fu Master, wrestling and the like.
Wasn't there Maze Craze? I remember you used to break
that
Maze Craze.
I had Maze Craze. I had Fishing Derby. I was just trying to think. River Raid was like a family favourite. That was one that my mum and my dad actually used to play as well, which was rare for them because they didn't really get into games all that much. And then when I hit grade 6, so a couple of years later, I actually somehow managed to to con my dad into getting me a Commodore 64 on the premise that I was going to use it for schoolwork, which I never did, and he never let me hit the end of it. Like, I'm not even kidding. I was, even after I got married, so, you know, obviously, you know, a fair while later, he would still bring up that story. But yeah, I remember how you were going to use that for homework. And in typical Maltese fashion, I still remember him talking the guy down, like, to grab that thing for a steal as well. I had my C64. I absolutely loved that. It ranks up there as one of my favorite systems of all time. I think that's probably like that. Daz and I were obviously good friends before that as well, but I think that kind of like brought us together a lot more as
indeed.
and we used to swap games and all that kind of stuff, and did that for a while. And then the 16-bit consoles came out, and I made the move from I guess vintage computers, you could call it, to the consoles. I never had, obviously not, I never had an 8-bit system like the NES or the Master System, so moved on to the onto the SNES and absolutely fell in love with the thing. Main reason for that is because it had the first home port of Street Fighter 2, which is still to this day my favorite game of all time.
Yeah, but come on, dude, the C64 had Street Fighter 2 as well. You didn't have to use
SNES. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And Mark, how much did you actually pay for it, Street Fighter 2? If you don't mind me asking, if you remember back in the day.
Yeah, I do. It was, I ended up getting it from, it's funny, I still remember this. I found a copy in the trading post.
Oh, lucky.
It was brand new, from a private seller in Sunbury of all places. And I remember my mum driving me all the way up there to get that. From memory, I think it was about $100.
Oh, that's good, yeah. I remember paying $149 for it. At Sunshine Target.
Oh wow.
And the box was ripped. Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah. I was livid.
But the thing is, it was in perfect condition and they saw you, they go, Alex is coming. Let's rip this bastard.
Yeah. Let's torment him. Yeah, let's just rip the box, the bastard. No, you're right, man. That game blew me away. But yeah, sorry dude, go on.
No, you're right. And then I remember paying, oh jeez, probably close to about $160, I think, for the Japanese import of Hyper Fight when it came out. But I think that included a converter with it as well. But yeah, so I absolutely fell in love with the SNES, and it was the topic of many a debate between Daz and I as well.
Yep.
Many a late night phone call. And then, yeah, look, from there I went on to the PS1 and then Dreamcast and then so on and so forth. Favorite games, as I mentioned, Street Fighter. I was really, really into my beat-em-ups, so stuff like Final Fight, pretty much anything from Capcom. They're my favorite publisher, favorite developer of all time. Yeah, and then obviously some of the old arcade classic stuff like Double Dragon, absolutely fell in love with that. Bomb Jack, Shinobi, pretty much anything from Sega as well, and so on and so forth. Yeah, like my first love was my C64 and then the SNES, but above all of those things, for me, I was always an arcade rat. I loved the arcades. To me, nothing beats them, nothing ever will. So yeah, it was always just trying to get that arcade experience at home as much as I possibly could.
And a C64 delivered with Shinobi.
It did, yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
And Bubble Bobble.
And yeah. Bubble Bobble, yeah. Unfortunately, Double Dragon is one.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. And that's why I love you, Mr. Casso, because, yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Every episode has to be brought up, you're right.
It's the game that shall not be named. It's like Voldemort.
it is.
So, like I said, gaming history goes a long way back, and I still love it to this day. It may not have as much time as I used to when I was a kid, but yeah, still, every opportunity I have, it's controller in hand, and kick back and relax.
Well, seeing this is a vintage computer podcast, what was your first IBM PC?
It was a 486.
Whoa.
Was it DX266? I don't know if it's DX.
Yeah, BDX, yeah. Did it have the turbo button?
It did, yeah. For its time, man, this thing was pretty beastly as well. Jesus, and I'm just thinking about it now. I actually conned my dad again, second time, to get me that because I was doing my VCE at the time. I actually did use it for homework, though, that time. But yeah, it was 486DX266, had a video card with 1 meg of memory, which back then was like huge. How much RAM? I can't even remember how much RAM it had. It had a sound blaster, sound card, a CD-ROM, you know, the works. It was like a real multimedia kit.
How much was that worth? Do you remember how much you would have bought it for?
I think about $3,000.
Wow.
Something like that back then. Yeah.
Bleeding edge, mate.
It was. Yeah, it really was. And then what I ended up doing, using it to play emulators. Pretty much, you know.
I mean, used to run MAME and DOS.
Yeah.
Back then, yeah.
Yeah. I remember just my mind being blown when you could grab MAME and a copy of Street Fighter 2, grab the ROM of that and just play that and like, oh my God, this is so fucking awesome, you know. But yeah, it was. I love that thing too. I probably used that. Played a lot of RTS games on that. A lot of pinball games as well, actually. And of all things, football management games.
Okay.
Used to love them. Premier Manager 2 and 3. Play the crap out of those. And used to play. I'd be playing my own league, and a friend of mine, close friend of mine that used to live across the road from me, would be playing it at the same time. We would kind of compete that way, and so
nice.
Got my fair mileage out of that thing too.
You wouldn't still own that, would you?
No. That's, you know what, I so when I moved overseas for a while, I actually gave that PC to my mum, and she used it for a couple of the years, and then I think it finally kind of kicked up, so she had to buy a new one. But
is that the computer we used to burn PS1 games with?
Yeah.
But you would have updated it by then, yeah? You would have.
No, man, not
still,
really.
Still, really?
Yeah, not really, because
with the good old SCSI drive.
Yeah, that's why, because that the SCSI drive and had this separate SCSI card. And as I said, for its time, it was a pretty beastly PC. So burning PS1 games was like not an issue at all. Very, very few dud discs or anything like that. So
disclaimer: we don't condone
piracy. No, not at all. We never did on the C64. We never did on the PC or the PS1.
No, especially the C64. I bought all my games original.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Through other friends.
Exactly.
In the back, in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
pretty much.
But yeah. So there you go. So, nice history. So yeah, I'm assuming that I'm acting like I don't know you. You know, now we're all into the current gen stuff, but still play our old stuff. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'd probably spend more time still playing. Older versions of Street Fighter than I do with the current one, which
likewise.
Which is kind of scary.
It's so fulfilling just booting up Hyper Fight. Just,
yeah.
It's still fresh.
That's it.
Alright, cool.
I was going to say, I love Mark, but now I love him even more.
Thank you, sir.
Everything you said, well, I was like, yep, I was just nodding away going, yep. Yeah.
Well, Mark didn't mention that he loves Zelda a lot too.
Oh, you know, yeah.
I'm joking. Do you?
Me?
Yeah, you.
All right. Little inside scoop. So, the other podcast that I record, not the RD one, I'll give a shout out to it later. We had a question on our last episode, which was, "What is the which game do you think is the most overrated of all time?" And I named Zelda, so when that episode actually gets released, I'm expecting a ton of hate messages. So
dude, I'm gonna give you a massive kiss at PAX. you just fucking nailed it.
Sorry to sidetrack, but it's just a series that I just could never get into, and I've tried. I've got probably three or four different games in my library here, but
same.
Just could not really enjoy it at all.
You know what though? Link to the Past is a great game though. It is.
I've tried Daz. I've tried.
Yeah, same.
It just doesn't
really?
Grab me, mate.
No, I really like that. I really like it. Yeah. Doesn't matter. When it's not about the Nintendo. This episode, so.
Yeah.
Alright, cool.
Yeah.
Right, let's rock and roll. So, yeah, we're going to talk about our favourite genre. Not genres, genre for each person.
Yeah, this was a hard one, Daz. I thought, oh, yeah, I know straight away. Easy, but. Jeez, I had to, cut it down to one, and even that was hard.
It's very hard. It's, for me, it's out of three.
Yeah, for me, it was actually out of four.
Wow. You know what? Maybe we should mention our top three genres, but then talk about our number one. How's that?
Ah, yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. All right, who wants to go first?
Oh, I reckon our special guest should go first.
Okay, so we're talking genres specifically for computer games or console games. Does that count as well? Or
that's actually a good question. We didn't really think about that one, did we, Alex?
No, but I just made the assumption on 8 or 16-bit
computers,
yeah.
Computers, okay, cool.
Okay.
Alrighty. See, now you've got me. Alright, so probably one of my favorites is platformers. Mm-hmm. So platformers definitely. I'm going to still say fighting games as well would be up there too. Even though you really didn't get that many great ports of the, you know, stuff like Street Fighter, etc. on the vintage computers, you still had some great beat 'em ups. Specifically, like say on the C64, one I talk about all the time is Target Renegade. Absolutely love that. So yeah, that's two. And the third one, geez, you got me stumped now.
Well, is this your number one favorite genre?
I'm going to say number one is definitely going to be platformers.
Okay. So we'll talk about that one after.
Yeah. Definitely going to say that. Just trying to think of a third. Probably shooters, I would guess. Definitely shooters, because again, you know, stuff like R-Type and Karthikus and 1941, 1942, etc. So yeah, those three. But definitely number one is definitely platformers. A couple of notable games: Bubble. Daz, would you class Shinobi as a kind of a platformer?
Yeah.
Because it's not yet. That's a hard one to
it's
fit.
An action platformer. Yeah, it is.
Action platformer, yeah.
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
So, yeah, Bubble, Shinobi. God, there's a ton. And it's just my mind just gone completely blank, as it does, but yeah, definitely going to give it to platformers as my favourite genre on the 8 or 16-bit computers.
Yeah, a lot of good ones too, actually.
I'd agree 100%, because that's what I had as well. Platformers is my number one.
Well, thinking back, it is hard. I'll start my number three. Well, what did I play a lot? Okay, look. What's going to fight for number three would probably be puzzle games and then shooters. But I'd probably give it to shooters. Like Karthikus, as you said, Mark. R-Type was great in the C64. What was that? Did anyone play X-Out?
Yeah, I played that on the... no, I didn't actually. I'm thinking of the wrong game. Sorry. No, that's
well,
right.
I pretty much played it on the C64 a lot. Did you never play it, Mark? It's
probably
sounds
past. Familiar. Yeah.
It's probably by that time I think he left the C64.
Yeah, I was probably more on the consoles. Yeah.
Yeah. That is a great game, and the C64 version is excellent. But if you are going to play it, try the Amiga one. The Amiga one is just perfect. It's Rainbow Arts, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Chris Uzbeck did the music on that as well. Awesome. Such a good game. Really, really difficult, but yeah, it's great. You had what's it called? Cybernoid. What about Armalite? You said played Armalite.
Yeah, brilliant game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Anyway, that's my number three. Number two would be, what was I going to say? I already forgot. Yeah, I'd probably say fighters as well. You got IK Plus, Target Renegade, guys. Mate, how hard is that game?
Oh, super.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I've seen a lot of people talk about that the 64 version, saying it's crap.
What?
Compared to the Spectrum and Amstrad versions. No. I don't see it. I think it looks amazing. It plays great.
It does.
Yeah, but yeah, for some reason the 64 version gets a lot of heat from Spectrum and Amstrad fans. No, I don't get it. Maybe there's a bit of jealousy in the graphics.
Yeah,
I
reckon it's jealousy.
And the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to admit, the actual Renegade is better on the Spectrum than the C64, because it was horrible. But anyway. What else was on there? that I really... Double Dragon 2 was great. Mark.
Oh, of course, yeah. Completely.
Yeah, that was...
Like I said, man, I drew a complete blank, but yeah, man, that port, wow.
Yeah, it was so amazing. Good. Oh, I can't say the same about Final Fight on the C64. Oh, my God.
I never played it. Was it that rubbish?
It's very, very bad. They did a lot of bad arcade ports, like Final Fight, Ninja Gaiden, Shadow Warriors was a garbage.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed with the Shadow Warriors. What else was I disappointed with? Mind is blank now. But anyway, yeah, Fighters. Oh, Way of the Exploding Fist. I mean, geez, I could go on. Bangkok Knights, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was hoping no one would bring that up because I was going to save that for the next segment, but yeah.
Yeah, don't worry.
Three, that's right.
That was good, yeah.
But yeah, again, yeah, number one genre is platform games on the C64 and Amiga. Highlights, I think, on the C64, I'll mention first, is Mayhem the Monster Land. It's any game that will rival any 16-bit console platformer.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I don't know how the hell they did that. Creatures 2 as well, in Creatures. And, what else was there? Hawkeye, I really enjoyed. I've got who made that.
I just remember the music, Jerome's music.
Yeah, yeah. Brilliant. That was great. Did you ever play a game called Cyberdyne Warrior?
No.
It was a budget release.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. Give it a go. It's really good. Really, really good. I destroyed that game. Absolutely loved it. Zamzara was another one of my favourites. Draconis. That was another budget title. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Atura was a good one. That was really messy, the graphics wise, but it was fun. I think there's a lot of budget titles that I'm mentioning, but I know I'm going to forget a few. Yeah, Shinobi as well. Going back to shooters, I forgot to mention Dragon Breed. Jeez, I loved that.
Oh, yeah.
But, alright, back to platform games. Turrican, brilliant. Turrican 1 and 2. Yeah. Hook is a big favourite of mine on the C64. Never played it?
Yeah, you said that before, and I took it down. I never actually gotten around to playing it, but...
Oh, come on, man.
Sorry, man. Hang on, the one that you mentioned before was a Cyberdyne Warrior, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, alright.
Great game. Really, really good game.
Cool.
The Hammer Fist is another favourite.
Yeah.
Jeez, so many good platform games. Weird Dreams. Oh.
I love how you pull these out of left field, man. I love it. Weird Dreams. Like, that is classic.
That's such a good game. I'm wrapped up. I've got that original still from when I bought it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I still remember my dad buying it. I think I've mentioned this. Daimaru.
Oh, wow. Melbourne Central.
Yeah, I bought it from there. My dad goes, pick a game. So I picked that. It was the most expensive one.
You spoilt little brat.
Hey, I was. It's not really a platform game. I was going to go for I was just going to say another arcade port that sort of disappointed me was Dynasty Warriors. Dynasty Wars. Capcom game.
What year was that? That would have been probably...
Wow, 91 maybe?
Yeah,
you're on a horse.
No, I was already on 16 consoles, man.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's some sidetracking there. But yeah, they're mine. But yeah, I'd say special mention still is that Mayhem Monster Land. If anyone hasn't played that, you need to play it. It's just it's an amazing piece of work. Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
You know what, a game I can't believe neither of us mentioned.
Don't say it, Mark. Don't say it.
All right.
I reckon I'll bring it up.
We'll see how it mentions it. All right.
And if I do, I get the feeling I know which one you're going to say.
There is one I'm not going to mention, but I'm going to mention it later.
Okay.
I was about to wait and go, yep, what is that? Okay. Sorry, Daz, that was it, yeah?
Yeah, that's it for me, yeah.
Ah, cool, man. Look, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go for 4. All right.
Oh, jeez.
Come on, man.
He's making his own rules.
Come on.
Breaking all the rules.
I know, man. I just break the rules. driving games, man. I love Buggy Boy.
Yes.
Oh, far, yeah.
Buggy High Boy. Five.
Yeah, Turbo Run, yeah, man. Test Drive. I remember playing Test Drive thinking, and this was on the ST, not on the Amiga, and thinking, wow, man, just I can't believe you can actually see the steering wheel move, cracks in the windscreen.
But
Buggy Boy on the
64,
how good was that?
It's brilliant. But sorry, Alex. Whenever I think of test drive, I think of Mark.
Accolade presents.
That's it. That's right. Yeah. Accolade. Yeah, with the whatever that was, it a thing that went across the screen through
yeah,
the.
Yeah, the guy's yeah. driving a drives a Porsche, and he drives. I think it's part two, test drive two. Drives up, rolls the window down, kind of gives you a little grin, and then drives off.
Oh, classic. Classic.
So good.
Yeah. In third would be Shoot 'em Ups. Salamander was a favourite, which was also known as Life Force. You guys like Salamander?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Delta, IO, Daenerys, Dominator... Well, obviously R-Type. I love those. Run-and-gun games. Now, I'm going to be controversial because I'm going to say Gryzor, Commando, and Okari are Warriors. I know they're all different style, but to me, they're all run-and-gun games, right?
They are.
So, but yeah, Gryzor, also known as Contra, also known as Probotector, but I only knew it as Gryzor. The fact that you had to use the space bar to jump... So yeah. I had my toe on the space bar and it joystick feverishly. It was a bloody tough as nails game, but brilliant conversion by Ocean. Commando, classic.
Yeah.
And Ikari Warriors, man. Oh, jeez, I'll play that to death.
I loved it. I loved the 64 version.
Absolutely. And then I played the ST version and I was like, what the hell is this pile of shit? It was crap. 16-bit was just shit house, Ikari Warriors. Well, on the ST anyway. I don't recall playing on the Amiga. And number one is platformers, and the game that did it for me is Gianna Sisters.
Oh, wow, how did I forget that?
Is that the game you're going to say, Mark?
No, it was actually something else.
Okay, and the other game I was going to say was Impossible Mission.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
They're the two. Mayhem Monsterland, obviously, Bubble, Flimbo's Quest, which is another System 3. But yeah, the great Gianna Sisters, I remember playing that thinking, finally I've got a Super Mario Brothers game. On the CA64, it was played it to death. And unfortunately, that wasn't... I didn't buy that because didn't Nintendo put an injunction to get it off the shelves. Yeah. So, yeah, we got that by other means. And luckily, it was still available.
You couldn't buy it, so you had no choice.
Yeah, exactly right. So we had to deal in the schoolyard. And I'm glad we did because, we would have missed out on an absolutely brilliant platformer game.
Tell me, did the music when you after you die just piss you off?
Yes.
It's like, are you serious? I died again.
But I love the wind effect. You know when it starts in the wind. It's really really cool. A really really great game.
So the game I was going to mention is. This is another one that Darren and I talk about it all the time. I can't believe neither of us mentioned it this time. It's a one that's probably maybe a bit of a pseudo-platformer, but Ninja Spirit.
Oh, yes.
Because, we both play the crap out of that game. And if I may, I want to tack on a couple of racing games as well.
Yeah, go, man. Go for it.
Continental Circus.
Do you like that?
I love that game. But see... This is the thing, like, back then, man, I was a stupid kid, so I didn't know better. You know what I mean? Like, I really enjoyed that. And then, obviously, you got stuff like Pit Stop 1 and 2 Pole Position as well. And another... It doesn't really fit in any genre that we've mentioned, but another great game, Silkworm. Did any of the guys enjoy that?
Yeah. Wow.
I love that game, man.
So good. Such a great friggin' conversion, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It is.
I mean, you want perfection, you've got to go the Amiga version. Yeah. It's just the sound, and that's amazing. But the C64 one, the playability was there, and it looked great.
It was, great fun. Great fun.
You know, man, I feel like just putting on the 64 right now.
me too. Hey, maybe we can have Silkworm PAX. What do you reckon?
Ooh.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I like it.
I can organise that for you, Boz.
Ooh, Daz. Mm. You talk dirty.
I would do anything for Buzz.
I can see little half hearts above my head.
But I won't do that.
Exactly.
All right, cool.
Boom, boom.
Just finish off my tea. It's like hardcore.
And where's ours, mate?
Yeah, it's on bad luck, stiff.
No love, man.
I mean, for me, I can understand, but come on, man. Special guest. You should always, you know, offer.
You can have water.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks. Warm water from the tap.
Remember that, Mark, for next time when he needs a drink. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry, I will. I'll fix him up soon.
Just point him towards the toilet.
Just make sure it's not flushed before I go.
Oh, jeez. He's just descended into mayhem. I love it. Oh, dear.
All right, cool. That went crazy, didn't it?
It did. So let's just run it back in just a tad, man.
Yes.
The next segment, Daz, publisher of choice, we allowed Mr. Kassar the privilege to pick. And I actually was surprised. I actually thought he was going to go for Capcom for sure. But
Yeah,
Mr. Kassar, you can announce. I know Daz actually at the top of the episode actually did announce it, so he sort of spoiled it for everyone. But
publisher of choice this month was System 3. Actually, the reason I went for them over Capcom, because particularly with like the vintage computer games, I don't know, like Capcom had their ports, but they weren't really all that great from memory, like the majority of them.
Mm.
I don't really associate Capcom with vintage computers, funnily enough. Even though they're like my favourite publisher, it's just, yeah, whenever I think of vintage computers, first name that pops into mind is always System 3, just because they had so many fantastic games. So that's why I went with them for this month.
I reckon it's a very, very good choice.
Well, what do you want to talk about our favourite System 3 games then, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. Just for those people that want to know, System 3 was founded in 1982 and is still going strong, so there we go. But yeah, man, that was, I reckon, top shelf pick by Mr. Kassar.
For sure. Yeah, it's hard to beat.
Mm.
Absolutely hard to beat. Who wants to go first?
I reckon flip a coin. No, I'm joking.
Oh, wow.
it's between you guys.
Yeah, I'll go Mark.
Me? Okay, yeah. Cool. Alright, in no specific order, so first one, obviously, I'm sure this one's going to show up on everyone's list, is Last Ninja. The entire series, but if I had to pick a favourite, it's definitely Last Ninja 2 for me. Especially that boss battle and the music that plays during that last battle that you have is truly epic. One of the greatest soundtracks of all time, in my humble opinion. Next one I'm going to mention is, and it's funny, like Daz mentioned earlier, when you sometimes you talk about a specific game, you associate it with a specific person. The next game that I'm going to mention is Myth: History in the Making. And whenever I think of that game, I always think of you, Darren, all the time. Yeah, I remember him when he first got it and just showing it to me. We were like blown away just how awesome it was. Such a great game. That's another platform, I guess you would.
Yes, that's why I didn't mention it.
Because it was going to be on this list.
Yeah.
nice. Next game I'm going to mention is, again, we touched on it briefly earlier. Specifically when I discovered this game, I was, as mentioned, I was very much knee-deep in Street Fighter at the time. It was just like all I could think about. So any fighting game that I could grab my hands on, I would. And that is Bangkok Knights, which I still remember being blown away, but just how massive the sprites were.
Yeah, they were huge.
At the time, like, it was different than anything else you could really see that was out there on the market. Like, when you look back at it now, it's probably not that great of a game. But back then, it was amazing. And the, what do you call them? The card ring girl that used to walk out.
Oh, that's right. Like,
ooh, nice. Sexy. But, yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah, so... Bangkok Knights. Next one is, and again, if this one's not on everyone's list, I'll be surprised, which is International Karate. Specifically, IK Plus is my favourite one of the series. Again, because I love my fighters so much, and this one was just so different. It was funny, it was awesome, it was colorful, had some of the best backgrounds I'd ever seen, specifically the I assume it's like the Japan stage with the water in the background and kind of the sunset going on, and just like when the guys with, you know, the pants would fall down, and it was just like it was funny and awesome at the same time. And last one on my list is not really a retro game, but it's retro inspired, and it's one that I play very often now, and that's Pinball Arcade.
Yeah.
If you want a stellar pinball game, and this thing is out on pretty much every platform that you can think of. It's, you can get it on current gen consoles, you can get it on I know you can get it on the PS3. I'm not sure about the Microsoft consoles, Xbox, etc.
Yeah, you can. I think you can. You can get it even on your iPad and
Android. Yeah, you can get it on your iPad, you can get it on your phone, you can get it on everything. Yeah, so Pinball Arcade, basically taking real-world pinball machines and porting them to home systems, and just the authenticity is amazing on these things. The sounds that they manage to capture, just the feel of the machines. I spent a crap load of time playing that. It's funny. It's like it's one of those games where I'll play it for a lot and then kind of put it away and then forget about it for a while and then get a hankering for some pinball, so I'll rip it out again and yeah, play it again.
It's fresh again, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And what I really like about it is it's more of a platform than it is just the game, so they're constantly supporting it. So I think they're up to season 5 now. The first couple of seasons had about 40 tables each from memory, or 20, no, I think 40 is a bit much, maybe.
It's 20.
20 each, yeah. And then each subsequent one has had, yeah, at least 10 to 15. So there's a lot of choice of different tables. And if you want to, you can buy them individually or you can buy them as a whole. And it's got great stuff. You got stuff like Pinbot, Bride of Pinbot, Getaway, Theater of Magic. Pretty much all the classic tables that you can think of are getting ported to this game. So it's definitely worth checking out. It's amazing.
Definitely. You know, Alex is buying Theater of Magic for me for my birthday.
Really?
Yeah,
it's a brilliant game, man. Brilliant pinball table.
I love how you just ignored what I said.
Yeah. because I've already done it, dude. It's on the screen.
Oh, there you go. That's why I wrecked your surprise.
You did. It's out there now. but that's my top five, man. Look, there's a bunch of others that I could mention, but yeah, those ones were definitely my favorite from System 3.
Yeah, there's a lot of good games. Like, I was actually trying to think really, really terrible System 3 games, and I couldn't actually think of any.
There isn't one.
Yeah. Probably the weakest one actually probably would be Bangkok Nights, to be honest.
I think Flimbo's Quest.
I like
Flimbo's
that.
Quest. Okay. Well, see, there we go. So again, they're all yeah. If their worst game got an 80% in the magazines, yeah. Well, then I reckon they're doing pretty well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go next. Number 5 for me would be IK Plus, obviously.
Nice.
Again, funny. You know, there's a lot of humour in there. It gets really difficult later, especially when you're blocking the bonus stage and the blocking walls.
Oh, how good is that?
Yeah. Oh, the frustration.
Those challenging stages were awesome.
Yeah, they were really good. Number 4. Let's see, this gets hard because they're all good. Probably Tusker. I really, really dug that game. Did you ever play that one?
Tusker.
It's like, think of Indiana Jones.
Oh, okay.
It reminds of Indiana Jones.
Nice.
Alex hasn't heard of it, has he?
I don't know, I have. So
you have?
Just trying to think. I'm going to be terrible saying this. I remember getting it from the schoolyard because I read it. I can't remember if it was in CMVG or Zap, mag, and I thought, wow, that looks awesome. Again, like an Indiana Jones type game. Mm-hmm. But just like because we were spoiled for so many pirated games, I didn't actually manage to play it properly. I just checked it, make sure it works, and then just filed it away. But no, I never actually got the pleasure of actually playing. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm disappointed.
So Tusker is a game that I've got to go back and revisit, definitely.
You have to. Yeah. Next one would have to be Turbocharge. Chess HQ on steroids.
Nice.
That's... Daz, you must have actually heard me today because I said this exactly the same thing to someone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Loved it. And I finished it too.
Nice.
Yeah, I finished it back in the day. Not now. There's no chance I can do it now. No chance. All right, I'm going to sneak in... this is 2.5.
Oh.
Number 2.5.
Are you telling Vendetta. Me that I like the rules?
Yeah, Vendetta.
Nice.
I loved it. And number 2 would be the Last Ninja series. So I put Vendetta with the Last Ninja series because it's the same type of game.
Yeah.
Finish Vendetta 2 as well, so I was glad I finished that. Again, I can't even pass the first level now.
Did you actually do that without any trainers? Or?
Yeah, dude, I've got it original still. That's how I played it.
Wow.
Yeah. All these... games. Look, Last Ninja series, I never finished 3. I finished the first 2, and they were all without trainers.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And the Last Ninja series, it's hard. It's so hard. Look, I love the first one. It's very cheap. A lot of cheap devs. Well, I guess they're all like that, but Last Ninja is more brutal. But close second out of that would be Last Ninja Remix. I love this Last Ninja 2, but Remix I can improve upon it. Add a better border, improve the graphics up a bit, and the music was awesome. I'd say Last Ninja 3 is my favourite out of the 3. Not the music though. Last Ninja 2 is music. It's just, you can't beat that. As Mark said, one of the best soundtracks ever. But number 1 obviously is Myth. History in the making. Loved it. I mean, It's I remember seeing it back in the day at local Kmart, actually, on tape at Airport West Shopping Centre, funny enough. And I rarely went there. I think I've only been there 3 times in my life. And I was there with my dad and they're in Kmart. And I remember they used to have the games in the glass shelves at the counter. And I saw it on tape. I go, well, that looks really good. And again, my dad goes, you want to get a game? I'm like, yeah. But I picked something else, and I can't remember what it was. And I didn't, and I still kick myself to this day. And so I ended up just getting a copied version on disc, and I fell in love with it. And that's when I regretted it even more. if you haven't played Myth, I mean, seriously, you really need to play it. Especially if you're into fantasy and just mythology. In general, it's pretty much what it is. The Amiga version was great, and it looked and sounded great. But even though they changed the main character in the 64 version, you're a kid, you're like a teenager. But in the Amiga version, you're like a barbarian, like a troll barbarian.
Oh, really?
Thing. Yeah. They changed the character.
Huh.
Which suits the game more.
Oh, okay.
And but I prefer the C64 version. I think it's more fluid and yeah. The Spectrum and Amstrad versions are a completely different game. It's more... I can't even explain it. It's sort of... I don't know. It's good, but it's nowhere near the C64 version. I know a lot of people prefer... Again, it's coming from Spectrum and Amstrad fans. They prefer that version over the C64 one. I think what lets the C64 version down is difficulty. It's very, very hard. Very hard. If you don't own a C64 and you have a NES, you can get Conan, which is the same game. They've just changed it to Barbarian.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah, and it plays like shit. It's really, really bad.
I love that. Really, yep, you can play on the Nintendo Game System. It's horrible. Love it.
But I'd say it would have been about 3 years ago, I finally tracked down a mint copy on disc. So... and for $50, I was happy. From a guy in Geelong, out of all places.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was so happy I bought that, and yeah, it's now a part of my collection. And,
But how hard is it to actually find games on disc? I mean, tapes you can find, they're getting harder, but on disc, it's...
Disc you can in Australia, but people want drug money for them. It's ridiculous.
They do. Even just the disc with no colour, you know?
That's stupid. I mean, look, I needed the Last Ninja to finish my collection on disc, and I had to pay $68 for it.
Wow.
And that's not a... like a what's it called like a budget version. It's actually the proper case and everything, but and the disc is bent to the shit.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of spewing, but it works. So, yeah, I'm thinking about actually pirating it and taking this, peeling the sticker off and putting it on the disc.
Why not?
Because, yeah, I think I'm going to have to do that because I don't know how long it's going to last. But, yeah, you know, that's what you have to do if you want to collect, I guess.
Absolutely.
But you can find them. You can find them. They're there.
I think the problem is because the discs weren't as prevalent in the UK as well.
Exactly.
Because they basically majority for them was tape, so it kind of makes it hard to find anything at a reasonable price. Mm. Unfortunately.
Yeah. You're all lucky here.
Mm. Absolutely.
Well, that's moi. Now to you, Mr. Boz.
Thanks, dude. Obviously I'm gonna sound like a broken record and say probably pretty much 99% of the games, International Karate and IK Plus. Obviously, I played International Karate first, and I remember seeing it for the first time. I thought, wow, man, this is fantastic. You know, you had the opera house in the background and, you know, doing roundhouse kicks and stuff. And then when IK Plus came out, it was like, wow, geez, three players, you know, or two players at once and the computer version. Fighting, you know, in rounds, and then the challenge or the bonus stages, you know, to deflect the balls. That was just a stroke of genius. It was so simple and yet addictive. It just I even picked it up a few weeks ago on the Game Boy Advance, would you believe, out of all versions.
Wow!
Yeah,
fun version too.
Yeah,
it's great. I've actually got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, that just speaks volumes how great the game is, still is. Bangkok Knights as well for me, and you're right, Mark, it hasn't actually aged too well, but I just remember the girl, the skimpy bikini holding up the round cards. Yep, The Last Ninja is up there, obviously. Now I reckon that was advertised perfectly back in the day. I just remember seeing those the eyes and the black and the Last Ninja logo, and it was just like, yeah man, this game looks cool. And I never actually completed it without cheating, but god, it was a great game. Really, really great game. You could actually get lost. I actually didn't play the third one. I don't know, when did 3 come out?
91.
Yeah, see,
let me have a look.
I would have moved on. Now, speaking of 3, Daz, my very, very good friend.
Yep.
There we go. I'm actually looking at the box that you gave me, which is on my bookshelf. I love looking at it. It's just a beautiful bloody box. That's a computer box, by the way.
That's what she said.
Oh, jeez. Look, Vendetta is up there as well. Flimbo's Quest, Dominator. But yeah, look, The Last Ninja and IK Plus and Dash Karate were the massive standouts for me. But as I said, I don't recall ever seeing a shit System 3 game, so that is actually amazing to say. And I'm sure someone might actually pull one out, but the fact that, you know, we're struggling to even come up with, you know, more than one or two just speaks volumes of how great they were as a publisher. So yeah, man, that's me. Yeah, look, I was going to say Myth as well, but I never actually was any good at it because it was so hard. And yeah, Tusker is a game I have to go and revisit, and it better be bloody good, Daz, because I'm coming after if it's not.
It's difficult, but it's fun.
Are you kidding me?
Music. I'll tell you, the music is the standout. It stands out. I don't know.
That's, and the Commodore 64 was probably the best at that, wasn't it?
Sound and music. I'd say so, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that leads us to Fudgebook, Facebook, and Twitter.
I'll read the Fudgebook out.
Yeah, you go for it, man.
Many there, but thanks anyway for the people that have
absolutely
answered the question. So first we have Aaron Clement. Am I allowed to say all of them? You know what, you are, even though you're saying no, or well. But yeah, you're right. IK Plus, hands down. Or was that pants?
Nice. Well played, Aaron.
Scott Columbine says IK Plus as well. It's very popular. Here we have Graham Wopke. again. Hopefully I'm saying the surname right, mate. Thanks for answering. Other than the usual games, everyone remembers IK Plus and the Last Ninja series. I quite enjoy these two platform games, Flimbo's Quest on the C64 and Myth on the Amiga. Nice. There you go. Thanks for answering the questions, guys. Yeah, there was only three. But yeah, we pretty much put it on later in the day, didn't we, Alex?
Yeah, we did. That was my fault.
It's not just your fault, mate. You know, I could have did it too, but, you know.
I know. You're always on the ball. I thought, I'll get in this time and, yeah. Sorry, guys. But thank you very much for the people that did actually answer it. Thank you very, very much.
Yes.
We really appreciate it.
Okay, what about Twitter?
Twitter. Well, we start straight away with Freaking Frankie.
I love that name.
Yeah, he's the coolest baby on the planet. Last Ninja 1, 2, 3, and Remix. Also, Fuzzball. Flimbo's Quest, IK Plus, Myth, Turbocharge, Vendetta. Yes, I love System 3. Good on you, Frankie. Fuzzball. What is Fuzzball? I feel like an
idiot.
That's
on the Amiga.
Is it good?
I've never actually played it.
If Frankie says it's good, he must be good. He hasn't been wrong at all when he answers these questions, so... There's another one. So Cyberdyne Warrior and Fuzzball are on my list to play. Rob Caporetto. Hey, Rob. C64 wise, top three is probably in no order. IK Plus, Last Ninja 2 and Turbocharge. And Stiller. Tough choice. Last Ninja is such a classic. IK Plus is still so incredibly playable. Absolutely. Also love the design of Tusker. Oh yeah, and Myth, of course. Good choices. Dr. Curly Tech, Stacey Borg, no relation to our co-host. Myth, the best. Also, there was a guy playing IK Plus on the Amiga on fast mode who was very good. Is he talking about himself there?
Sure.
Now, yeah, Stacey's one of these freaks that can pick up any game and become an absolute master at. So, I don't know, did you guys ever play it in fast mode on the Amiga? IK Plus? There you go. Alistair Walker, Last Ninja 2, of course, but Turbocharge was technically, graphically, and musically amazing, and the best playing Chase HQ type game. Yeah. I played the Turbocharge demo over and over, then bought it when we were on holiday and had to wait a week to play it. It was torture, I bet. Never ever buy a game when you go on holiday, especially if you don't have the system with you. Gary Irwin, has to be Flimbo's Quest on the C64 for me. Brilliant game, needs to be returned to reality. Don't know what that means, needs to be returned to reality. As in, to be redone? Is that a play on words? Sorry, man, sorry, Gary.
It's late, we're tired.
Yeah, we are, man. Yeah, and blame Daz, he kept us waiting.
Yeah, it's
my fault. BusClick, anything with karate or ninja in the title? I guess IK Plus doesn't specifically mention karate, but you know, yeah, we know what you mean. Yeah, he's right. If it's karate and ninja, you think of System 3. Eric Nelson, Da Project, loved IK Plus so much, that has to be it. Our chiptune mate Aaron White, Putty Squad on the Amiga, Flimbo's Quest and Turbocharge both on the C64, and not forgetting Last Ninja 2 on the C64 also. Yeah. Putty Squad, now. I was talking to you, Daz, and you didn't rate it. That.
Yeah, I didn't really like it.
Yeah, okay. Didn't it get released after 20 plus years?
Yes, I've got the PS4 version. It's not great.
Okay, fair enough.
Funnily enough, I sold him.
Because
I didn't like it.
Ooh, controversial. The Joy of Sticks, Mark Johnson, IK Plus, best fighting game ever. Yep. Agree. There's a theme here, IK Plus, Last Ninja, Flimbo's Quest. A new retro... Where? Mootster. Last Ninja 1 and 2. One was my first game ever in the fall of 1989. Well, there we go. And Amiga Paradise says IK Plus and Flimbo's Quest on the Amiga. So there we go, man. Obviously, IK Plus probably pips just pips Last Ninja. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think it does.
Big call, controversial call.
It is controversial, but
yeah, no.
For me, it is.
They're equally fantastic. Yeah. Actually, all the games that people have put on here are all actually quite fantastic. So.
Again, none of them are bad.
No, absolutely none. So, yeah, thanks very much for that. I was actually quite surprised with people getting on board on Twitter and giving us their top System 3 games. So thank you very much for participating. And that, Mr. Dazza and Mr. Kassa, leads us to what we've got coming up in a few weeks. I know we won't reveal too much, but I'm excited about PAX happening at the end of October.
You know what? I think we'll need our listeners to listen to the RD podcast for that one.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. That's why I was going to say we don't want to give away too much now. But main thing I'm looking forward to is obviously seeing you guys and spending time with you guys in the classic gaming area, and just seeing people coming in and actually enjoying playing old games, and you know, seeing their eyes just go wide open and mouths wide open and going, oh wow, you know, I remember this game or. Mm-hmm. It's the best part, I reckon.
And it will happen.
Absolutely, it will happen. We just have to have one of these cameras on each of the systems looking back at the people that come up to it. So
yeah, that's true.
How cool would that be?
That would be cool, yeah.
Yep, well, those GoPros, put them on each. Well, I wish.
Yeah. You know what I love seeing the most, though? Look, I love seeing everyone enjoying themselves when they're there. And all that, but I love seeing parents coming with their kids.
Yeah.
That's my favourite.
It is. It is, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I know I missed out pretty much the whole lot last year, but I'm assuming that happened again last year, Daz, and no?
Yeah.
Of course.
It's coming through?
Yeah.
Good. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. Definitely.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, if you want to know more about PAX, we'll have to wait till the RD episode. And Alex will be on there as well. Oops. And Mark.
Yes, can't wait. Yeah, you can't miss that one. They'll be a ripper. Mm. But yeah, hopefully everyone's got their tickets, and hopefully we'll see you there. And yeah,
play some C64 with us.
Yeah, come around, enjoy. Yeah.
We'll give you a little bit of a tidbit though. If you are coming, Weird and Retro is setting up a Amiga 500 linked up to an Atari ST playing Stunt Car Racer.
Ooh.
Which I've never done before, so that's going to be awesome.
Absolutely,
I'm actually looking forward to that.
It is. That's that. I remember when I actually first saw that, just blew my mind, and I thought, wow. A, I didn't know it was possible, and B, when I saw it, it was like, yeah, man, this is, you know, the two 16-bit war computers playing was fun. That would be kind of something special, I guess. Yep, definitely.
All right, you want to throw in some quick plugs?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any thank yous?
Of course. Obviously, the RD boys. Looking forward to seeing you all at PAX and having a laugh. So, and also next week's podcast. Can't wait for that one. My life partner in crime is Oz Retro Gamer, who keeps me honest and keeps me going and there. And I was going to say she keeps me on a straight and narrow, was what I was trying to say. And obviously the War Team, Weird and Retro, allowing me to share the EB Games Expo a couple of weeks back. That was fantastic. The road trip was awesome, even though it took us 17 hours to get to Sydney. And for the life of us, seriously, we cannot figure out where we lost 5 or 6 hours. We just can't. Even though we pulled over, God knows where. Slept for about 45 minutes and we couldn't account for the lost hour. We just couldn't.
What time did you leave?
We left on a Tuesday at around 11 p.m. and we got there around midday. Oh no, it was after midday. It was well after midday.
Wow, are you serious?
Yeah. We did stop off to do a few hunts in Campbelltown, which is about, I don't know, it's probably about 40-50 k's out of Sydney, or probably more. That was good. I actually picked up a few PlayStation 2 games out of all things. And that's where I picked up International Karate Plus for the Game Boy Advance as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that was cool. And went and checked out The Gamesman in Penshurst. I don't know if you remember.
Oh.
Yeah. Brilliant store, man. And the fact that they've actually got a museum part in the back. I'll do a story in the near future on our on ozretrogamer.com. So, yeah,
But if you like, you know, I've still got about four of their catalogues.
Dude, do not throw them out because...
No, no chance.
Yeah, because when we actually went there, I actually threw mine out, unfortunately. When we went there, we were actually asking if they had any, and unfortunately they don't, and all their catalogues now are online, so it was like, oh, man, oh, if only. If
I should
only.
Scan them for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I'll take some photos for you.
Yeah, no, that was actually, yeah, that was quite good. And yeah, and then just the setting up and going through the whole EB Expo was a lot of fun. Yeah, so I guess it will be similar type thing at PAX. Well, when I say similar, as in there's going to be vintage gear for everyone to enjoy.
Bigger and better.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for you?
That's it for me. Oh, yeah, can I just say, and I know the war team will know this, but we had the Gunner's time.
The what?
Exactly. Now, look, it's an inside joke. In Sydney, I happened to walk past two, I don't know, probably 16, 17-year-old guys talking to one another. And I'm not kidding you, one said to the other, "I'm the Gunnest, bro. I'm the Gunnest." And I thought, what the fuck are you on about? Right? So obviously he was trying to say he was the best at whatever he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just stuck for the whole weekend. So I've not stopped saying the word Gunnest. And I'm the Gunnest, bro.
That's horrible.
Massacring the English language, yeah. So, yeah, we had the Gunners time at EB Expo.
That's really funny. Mark, any shout-outs?
Shout-outs. Can I chuck in a cheap plug, if I may? Well,
go, man.
Yep, absolutely. Cool. So, obviously, you can check myself and Daz out on the Retro Domination podcast. But I also have a separate podcast to that. If you're into stuff, you know, anything to do with pop culture, really, you know, movies, anime, tabletop games, video games, the works, you can check myself and Tim also from Retro Domination. We have our own podcast called Plus Three to Geekdom. You can check us out on the Farch Books at Plus Three to Geekdom, and you can also find us on Podbean. We're too old, so we don't have a Twitter. We don't even know that kind of stuff. But, yeah, check us out there. Shout outs to Timmy. But, yeah, if you can give us a like on Facebook, that would be awesome. And give us a listen. That would be cool. And the gang. Besides that, shout outs to, yeah, anyone listening. And shout outs to you guys for having me on tonight. I appreciate it.
No worries, man.
No, we appreciate you coming, man.
My shout outs are pretty much what Mark said. That's pretty much it. And for all the listeners as well.
Of course. Thank you. We can never forget them.
That's right. And we've just been just wrapped with the response we're getting and the amount of downloads. Just, you know, thanks for listening, guys. Yeah. Thank you very much. But anyway, let's end this off now.
Wow.
Let's say there we go, another episode gone.
Absolutely. Just like that.
Just like that, mate. Bang. Snap.
Bang.
That's not going to do to your head, Matt. I'm the Gunnest.
Oh, you're the Gunnest, bro. You're the Gunnest.
So anyway, okay, guys. Well, look, I'll see you guys at PAX.
Woohoo. Can't wait, man. Can't wait.
Not long to go.
Yeah.
So cool. Okay, so we'll end the podcast off with an awesome track. And until next time, take it easy.
Bye. Cheers.